Week 3 in the NFL is now in the books, and the Birds are sitting at 1-2 in the NFC East. Miscues, penalties, drop balls, and the lack of basic fundamentals played a part in the Eagles' second straight loss. It's a short week as the Birds fly to Green Bay to take on the Packers tomorrow night. Will the Eagles even their record to 2-2, or is the unthinkable 1-3 record looming? This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live from Ramblewood Country Club. Now here's your host, Ron Jaworski.
My, what a raucous crowd tonight here at Seven Tap Tavern at the Ramblewood Country Club. Oh, and why not? What a group we have here tonight. But first of all, the show is always brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moans of every game as Sal laughs in the background. With Xfinity Internet delivering reliably fast speeds, even during those peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. Also brought to you by the wonderful people like Carl Pinto over at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White Water Heaters, built to be the very best. And Burns Honda. Visit them today at BurnsHonda.com. Jim McCormick and his team will take awesome care of you. And, of course, Sal and Harold, my good friends at Miller Lite, Mark Kramen and Brandon Dalton. Always give them some love, man. But most importantly, I want to give some love to my two guests tonight. It is very infrequently you get two gentlemen, the stature of the guys to my left as you're watching our stage. The man who will be in the Hall of Fame, Harold Carmichael. Yeah. And my dear friend and ESPN colleague and just an amazing reporter. I think he's been doing it for like 50 or 60 years right now. Oh, only kidding, Sal. The great Sal Palantonio, who's going to get Harold in the Hall of Fame. Sal, before I get to you, you know, the buzz in this town has been the Eagles drop balls on Sunday against the Lions. And I could not think of a better guest to have on this show. And I know, Harold, we're packed here at Seven Tap Tavern at Ramblewood, but there are people that are out in the road. But I want you to raise your hand to the people that are here and show them the size of your hands. I mean, look at these paws. That man never dropped the ball in his life. Right. In his life.
Yeah, right. Actually, I looked it up. You know, I'm the stat guy.
Yeah, okay, analytics, man.
So the Eagles had 7 drops on Sunday.
I had 5.
You had 5.
I watched the tape,
no,
Sal.
No, 7 drops.
Wait, no.
Seven drops. They had 7 drops.
There were 2 of them contested.
How many? Bear with me. Roll with me.
I should
on
never
this.
Interrupt
don't be,
Sal.
Don't be interrupted. How many drops do you think Harold Carmichael had in his career?
Whoa.
Harold Carmichael had 6 right. in his career.
13 years, 6 drops.
And I don't believe that.
We looked it up.
Sal watched every game.
Yeah. He's not that old.
Most of them were poor throws by
Ron. No, I knew with Sal the singer was coming. He couldn't be nice for 2 actual minutes. You know, he had to level somebody.
6 drops in his career, and they had 7 on Sunday.
That's amazing.
Listen, if you're on an NFL roster, okay, I don't care if you're number 53 or number 1. The baseline is you have to catch the football. That's the bottom. I was walking in with Vince Papale. Yep. Vince Papale's here. The great Vince Papale. Everybody say hello to
everyone. Hangs out at Red Ramble. We got Vince hanging out.
And he looked at me and said, Sal, catch the football, Sal. Did you say that, Vince? Catch. And that's it.
Not even a hello, Vince?
No, I got all I got. I got nothing. Catch the football.
All right. Harold Carmichael, what would your advice be to these young receivers that can't hold on to the football?
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me on again, Ronnie J. This is something that, you know, we were talking about, you know, asking me to be on the show. I said, why did they have to drop the ball this week? You know, because I know they're going to ask me about this stuff. But no, really, it happens. Jerry Rice has dropped them. You know, I've dropped a lot of passes.
You dropped 6 in your whole career.
Right, I don't believe that. I've not been in 1 game, probably.
No, but, that is not true, folks.
But, you watch guys, a lot of times, you know, there's like a distraction pretty much. And I was just telling you earlier that I couldn't be a catcher on a baseball field, on a baseball team, because I'm watching that bat being swung, you know, and I'm blinking my eyes. A lot of times that happens with the receiver. There's a quick flash or something, or even could be a little small tip of the ball. A lot of people don't see that tip that the defensive player is done. So you might be looking at the ball and it just tips and it goes a little bit away from what you're looking at. And it, you know, it happens, man. You know, I felt for those guys and I say, I've been there before, you know, but you know, you do it once or twice, you know, and then try to figure out how to catch the ball. You know, everybody is just talking about how big my hands are. It's not your hands, it's the eyes, man. If you don't watch that ball into your hand, you're not going to catch. Sometimes you get lucky. You close your eyes and get. I got a picture of me looking like I'm catching a ball with my eyes closed. But
Josh, give those numbers from the. I'm on the Hall of Fame blue ribbon.
And I do want this to be a little shameless promotion for Harold Carmichael.
Absolutely.
Because,
let's do it.
Harold will be very modest. We know that. That's the type of person he is. But Sal, you know, you were ultimately responsible for getting Tommy McDonald in the Hall of Fame.
That was Rave, didn't
you? Yeah, well, you had a lot to do with that in helping with that as well. So if you look at Harold throughout his career, and I'll read this. I could spend the whole show doing that, but during his 11-year period from 73 to 83, Harold Carmichael had 43 more catches, 46 more yards, and 10 more touchdowns than anybody in the NFL during an 11-year period. He was the best receiver in the game.
So, you know, I'm one of the 46 selectors on the Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee, and I'm also now one of the 25 members of the Blue Ribbon panel that will pick the centennial class. And we are going to pick 10 what we call seniors. And they asked all of us to nominate somebody, to help put somebody into the Hall of Fame. My first two nominations were Harold Carmichael and Dick Vermeil.
Wow. Yeah.
And
it's pretty awesome, Sal.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And so Harold Carmichael is definitely going to be in the equation, in the discussion, and they're going to announce the committee members on Friday. But I'm telling you, I'm on the committee, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get Harold Carmichael and Dick Vermeil into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in his centennial.
All right, Sal.
Thank you very much, Sal.
Thank you. Sal, that is one of the reasons. There are numerous. You were beloved.
By the way,
community.
That was a tepid applause for that. We want to get Harold Carmichael and Dick Vermeil. Come on!
People driving down the Schuylkill 95 are beeping their horns, Sal, or let them know that.
No, but they deserve to
no
get it.
No question!
You just gave those numbers that, you know, he was the best receiver for an 11-year
period. How do you not be in the Hall of Fame?
And, you know, Harold has been as a part of the conversation, as part of the senior committee before. It's not like it's coming out of nowhere. I think this is the time to make it happen, and I think we'll put a lot of pressure on the group to get Harold in right now.
Sal,
there are 10 slots, and there's no reason to keep him out.
No question. And you know, I served on another Blue Ribbon panel from the NFL to select the top 100 players of the 100-year history of the NFL. And it was very, very hard. It was very hard because what you see is the optic we have is the present-day player, and people look at numbers and stats. There are some incredible players that only deserve, like Harold, to be in the Hall of Fame that are considered the best players of all time, but their numbers don't compare to today's pass-happy NFL where the numbers really don't mean anything. And it's guys like Harold that, you know, when you look, you put them in the perspective of their Harold's 11-year career.
They weren't passing the ball in
the
70s.
If we were throwing it 25 times a game, it was a lot of throws.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't get the opportunity to make that many catches, accumulate that many yards. But neither was anyone else in the NFL. So that's why over 11 years, Harold's numbers, when he was playing, were the very best. Not second.
Yeah.
Not third. He was the best receiver in the NFL for 11 years. How can you not be in the Hall of Fame?
So you guys know I'm a lot younger than both of you.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to watch Monday
That's
Night.
That's not what Lynn keeps telling us.
Monday Night
Lynn
Football.
Lynn Palantoni, I might add.
And Monday Night Football, we would watch, you know, Howard Cosell, and he would do the halftime highlights. And every halftime highlight on Monday Night Football, he would have Harold Carmichael, the angular one, catching the football. And, you know, it was part of my youth.
That was a highlight for me, man. Oh, yeah.
And there's a reason why he was a highlight every Monday night, because he was a highlight reel.
Made all the plays.
No.
Unfortunately, Harold, there was a run there where the Eagles weren't very good. So you don't get the acclaim, the recognition. You know, now we have instant highlights. The play's over, you got it on your phone. You
exactly.
know, at that time, you had to wait till Monday night to see a highlight.
You know, we ran the ball, run, run, throw. It was something like that. So we didn't get the amount of numbers that the guys are getting today. You know, when you're throwing the ball 100 times almost a game, and it's very tough to try to beat some of the numbers today. You know, I led the league with 67 catches. Backup fullbacks are catching. We don't have as many fullbacks anymore. So,
yeah. Harold, a catch behind the line of scrimmage is a catch. I could go over these, you know, 30% of the balls down the NFL are thrown behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Is that true, Josh?
Oh, yeah, so it's crazy. No. I got stuff in my head, Sal. Sal, you know me. I got all these books with all these numbers.
All right, let's figure out how the Eagles are going to beat the Packers.
All right, well, first of all, I got to get to Harold, because Harold, you know, worked with Andy Reid. You know, he was with those quarterbacks and receivers every single day. So I want kind of the in-the-locker-room perspective, Harold. The receivers have a game like that. What is the general feeling? I'll give you my general feeling after you've expressed yours. What is the general feeling? What do you say as a guy that's close to everyone on Andy Reid's staff? What do you do?
One of the things, you know, they always told me, they say, Harold, if you see something, say something. But remember, Harold, we don't pay you to coach. So, you know, really, there were guys when they had, you know, being truthful, we didn't have that many drop balls because – I was there every day. You know, they told me I was the highest paid ball boy in the NFL because I was spotting the ball every day. So I had an opportunity, if a guy, something happened in practice, or I would tell a guy, look the ball into your hand. You know, that's my Twitter account named Look It In.
Yep.
And it just comes from look the ball into your hands. And, you know, when guys would, to this day, right, Zach Ertz hates me. Like, when I get close to the sideline and they are warming up, I'm saying, look it in your hand, put it away. And I put that in guys' heads every day on the practice field. Look the ball into your hands.
Well, Sal, you've covered games for the Eagles for many, many years. And, you know, not only when Harold was playing, but coaching, you would see him warming up the quarterbacks, warming the wide receivers. And I threw to Harold for many years. Warm-ups, pregame warm-ups, you know, whatever we're doing, post-game, post-practice, throwing the football. Harold would, what would you do, Harold? You said it. Catch it?
Put it away.
And put it away.
If he wouldn't catch it and flip it back.
If you threw him a ball,
it's just something that happens, you know, something that is instilled in my head. I'm 100 years old right now, and I will still put the ball away if I catch it.
you'll catch it. You can probably walk in the parking lot now and run a skinny post.
I can't run, but I can't run.
Hey. All right, I'll give you my 30 seconds on, because I've had guys drop the ball. They're your teammates. People say, hey, what would Carson Wentz do? You know what? You do nothing. You have to show more love and appreciation than you've ever shown to a wide receiver if he's in a slump. You don't even mention it.
Well, one of the things, Ron, I always want to make sure we were okay. So I know if I catch anything that you threw to me, you're going to try to throw it to me all the time. So I want to make sure if you had a bad-looking pass, I want to make it look like it was a great pass for me. You know, but because a lot of guys don't understand that. And I tell these guys when the rookies come in, I say, make the quarterback look good.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to throw that ball to you all the time.
Oh, yeah, make the hard catch.
Anybody can just catch the ball. Make the tough catches. Yep. You know, that's what I tell you, that got me, kept me from getting cut on the football field.
Well, you know, I played for a Hall of Fame coach in Sid Gilman. And Harold, you know how Sid was.
Yeah.
Anyone can make the average catch. You need to make the great catch. When you be on receivers, make the great catch.
Stuff that nobody else can do, you got to catch that ball. And people always make a big thing about, oh, the guy catch the ball out in front of him. That's a bunch of junk. Catch the ball. I don't care if you got to hug it. Catch the ball. They can, you know, when they're evaluating you in training camp, and they got to say, caught the ball. They might say he caught with his hand, but the biggest thing, he caught the ball. You know, I tell guys to get big on the football field.
Yep.
You know, the big receivers, they say you're a big receiver, get bigger. You know, catch the ball, get up there, play up in the atmosphere. That's what makes quarterbacks look good.
All right, enough of the history. We've looked back at a 1-2 Eagles team right now. There have been some bumps in the road. Where do we go from here? And you know, hey, since Sunday, that's all I've been here.
You go to Green Bay, Josh.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta win.
That's right,
Sal. You got to go to the next football game. You can't worry about November and December.
But you got to play
one game at a time at this point.
You always play one game at a time.
You got to go to Green Bay.
You can't play two games at a time.
And I'll tell you this: I think Green Bay is an average 3-0 team. I think they're a
below average 3-0 team.
I think they're a soft 3-0. You know, they have only scored 58 points. They have the lowest scoring point total of any of the division leaders. Now, they've only given up 35. But their third down percentage is only 25%. They're 29th in the league. I think the game will be, honestly, and this sounds like a cliche, but it's something that I learned from you, and it's something I learned from Coach Vermeil. I think it'll be won in two areas specifically. If the Eagles do not turn the ball over tomorrow night in Lambeau, they will win the game. If they do not turn the football over. And if the second area that they will win the game is if they get Aaron Rodgers off the field on third down. Teams have been getting Aaron Rodgers off the field on third down. So they have Kamu Grugier-Hill back. That's important.
Huge advantage.
Huge advantage.
Yep.
But they really only have three healthy corners. And if I were Jim Schwartz in this game, I would play mostly a bend-don't-break defense. I would keep everything in front of him, play a coverage-based defense, because Rasul Douglas is not going to outrun anybody. I haven't seen enough from Sidney Jones that I could put him in a one-on-one situation and trust him. Avante Maddox is too small, I think, to play on the outside. They have him miscast. He really is a slot corner in the NFL. So I think they really only, and they don't have Ronald Darby. Maybe that's a good thing, the way Darby has played. But to me, if Schwartz keeps things in front of him and gets Rodgers off the field on third down, it's, to me, the whole game is about Rodgers with the ball in his hands on third down.
Sal, I would tend to agree with pretty much everything you said. This is not a... I looked at the tape. There are three games. They're 3-0. Hey, give them all the credit in the world.
They're a soft
3-0.
They're
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0.
They're 3-0.
You are.
This is not Aaron Rodgers with Jordy Nelson and all those weapons.
Harold, what I'm suggesting is, compared to the other 3-0 teams and the other division leaders, I don't think that they're as strong as...
Sal, they're averaging an offense 286 yards a game. I mean, there's only three teams worse. That's the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bears.
Only
this is not a
points.
Dynamic football team.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. But if you don't get Rodgers off the field on third down.
But let me get you to, you mentioned the first thing you said is turnovers. What has haunted this Eagle team so far? They are minus two.
They were minus six last year.
And if you're minus one or better, and you're not going to win. It was a fluke that they had that kind of record.
Yes.
It's about a 78% win percentage. You're going to win. And Vermeil Harold, you know, has instilled this in our thinking all the way. You turn the ball over, you lose. You're minus one, you lose 78% of the time. And you can't turn. And by the way, Green Bay is plus six. They've scored 21 points on six of those turnovers. You can't give up 21 points in a football game.
I agree with you guys on some of the things you're saying, but the most important to me is the game is going to be won in the trenches, offense and defensive linemen. When those guys play well on both sides, offense and defensive linemen, we'll win. I guarantee you.
Offensive line has not played well, for the most part.
What I'm trying to tell you, that's where we got to win, offensively and defensively.
If you look at Mike Pettine's defense, and I haven't looked at every single snap, but I like the fact that he has relied on Darnell Savage, the way... The way that Rex Ryan relied on Ed Reed.
Yeah.
So he plays a lot of games up front as a result to get pressure on the quarterback.
They do a lot of stunts and linebackers and stuff.
Yes.
They're moving people. It's
around.
Really
and
cool out there doing
Eagles
a lot of this.
Eagles did not handle that well against the Falcons on Sunday Night Football.
But it should not be a problem. You know, I still believe this is the best offensive line in the NFL. And I agree with you, Sal. They have not played to that level. They have not.
Well, Jason Peters has got to stay on the field.
Well, hey, I think you ought to seriously consider start moving Jason Peters inside and get Dillard on the field. I mean, that's what I would
100%.
Start. I would start thinking in that direction.
You.
So you can buy a couple years with Jason, and you got a young rookie who's going to be a stud.
Because
I don't know when.
The right side is fine. Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks have been fine, and Kelsey has been shading to the left to help out. And, you know, that has been the problem. And I agree. I would put Pete – I mean, I think Peters would do it. I really do. Peters is going to go to the Hall of Fame. We get it.
Yeah, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But to get one more year out of him, move him inside and start Dillard, and Dillard can be helped by Peters.
Yep. Well, we got to stay healthy, too. That's that's one of the biggest things that just jumps out at everybody. Staying healthy, and it's been like that forever. You got
that hasn't changed.
It won't change, because you're playing football. You know, it's going to be tough to go through a season, but not without injuries. And the guys that was out, we had 12 guys out last week with injuries. That, it's tough to win football
games. Well, and key injuries.
I'm going to tell you, exactly. I'm going to predict that the Eagles don't turn the ball over, they will win the game in Green Bay.
Well, Sal, we're going to give you a chance later in the show to actually make a prediction, and I will hold you accountable, as I always do, Sal.
Where's the news flash at, Jones? Where's the headline? By the way, do we have copies of my book that I can give
away? Yeah, of course we have copies of the book.
All right, good.
Jason, show copies of the book.
All right,
give me that book, Jason. Jason Jones over here.
Oh, we got the paperback, Jones.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got the hardcover. All my kids have the hardcover.
We
got
the paperback.
By the way, if anyone hasn't read this book, either here at 7 Tap Tavern at Ramblin' or on the road or listening to the show, by the way, I didn't realize this. We have a worldwide audience for this show. I got people like emailing me from China and Japan and Youngstown, Ohio.
Do you understand?
Is that part of the United States?
They're listening. We listen to this show. I got to be careful now, Sal.
The question is, I know I can't go to Youngstown after that, but do you understand the people from Youngstown?
Yeah, don't you
understand? You understand Chinese?
I'm going to tell Eddie DeBarlow about you. Quickly,
I'd like to say happy birthday to my... my son's mother-in-law. Her birthday is tomorrow, and I said I would say that. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Wait a minute. Look at Harold Scoreboard.
My son's mother-in-law.
Look at Harold.
Wow. That's digging deep.
Man, Harold. Harold trying to score some points. Even Papali's laughing at that one.
I need all the points I can get, dude.
All right, we got to take a break, folks, but we'll be back from the 7 Tap Tavern here at Ramblewood Country Club with two of the finest people you will ever want to meet, Harold Carmichael and Sal Palantonio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more great stuff.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now back to the Ron Jaworski Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, my. 7 Tap Tavern is rocking tonight, getting ready for a big Eagles victory tomorrow night at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Hey, guys, I've been talking about my friends at Burns Honda for years. And there's a reason for that. When you find a business that you trust and really enjoy and deal with, you enjoy everything they do. And everyone, they talk about the experience. Burns Honda has a terrific inventory right now that you can see online. Shop their huge inventory, over 800 vehicles online at burnshonda.com. Enjoy extremely low lease pricing and limited time financing options as well. Stop in and tell them Jaws sent you. Burns Honda is located on Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey. Visit Burns and discover an unmatched car buying experience for yourself. And remember, when you need a super clearance savings on a new Honda car or SUV, turn to Burns. You'll be glad you did. Check out all their offers and their entire lineup at burnshonda.com. Welcome back to my dear friends, the great Sal Palantonio, future Hall of Famer, Harold Carmichael. In the audience, we have our buddy Vince Papali. And Sal, guess who walked in here? Our good buddy, your tennis partner, my golf partner, George Norcross walks in. His son, Alex. We got everyone here tonight.
All right.
But George said you never beat him in tennis, so we'll have to discuss that after the show. No backhand. Oh, Sal, you're called out. You got to get a match going. All right, guys. Green Bay. Lambeau Field.
Oh, great place.
Harold, we know it's a very, very special place.
They got bars on every corner.
They do? When Sal and I were there, we were always working.
Doug Peterson used to have, as a backup quarterback, he had a radio show in a bar in Green Bay.
Everybody had a radio show. All right, Sal. You know, I was a little disappointed with you on Sunday. I saw you, I saw you down in Tampa.
Yeah, well,
and, that made me a little nervous. Sal Palantonio, not an Eagles home game. Lynn must have been very upset that
Town. I do cover other teams in the National Football League.
Since when?
It was big news. Daniel Jones was starting and making his debut, so that was fun.
I just want to be sure you weren't bailing on us because, you're a lucky charm. I mean, look at the book. Look at the access you had when Philly Special came out. Doug opened his doors to every single thing, all the deep secrets. So, that was the book is special, by the way. And Sal, congratulations. We've been giving them out to people in the audience here, and you gave me discount from $100 to $99. We appreciate that.
I did
appreciate that.
What a great guy.
I got to make up the $1. 1-2. And oh, by the way, did you know that the New England Patriots started out 1-2 last year?
Can happen.
They won the Super Bowl.
We might be
so
14-2.
Put the brakes on a little bit, right?
They also have a cupcake division, okay?
Well, wasn't the NFC East supposed to be?
The schedule is a pile of cupcakes, too. The Patriots get an advantage every year by playing in the AFC.
Well, that's not their fault because the other teams have done a crazy job.
I didn't say it was, but it's not comparable. They're 1-2 and the Eagles are 1-2. I mean, the bottom line is, listen, you got to win your home games against non-playoff teams like the Detroit Lions.
Harold, how many times did we hear that in our playing careers? You must beat the teams that you're better than at home.
Exactly.
Simple math. You got to be able to win. And they were favored by a touchdown. It was a horrible loss, but not a devastating loss. I don't think it was a devastating loss. I was in the locker room yesterday. I talked to Doug via text a couple of times, talked to a lot of the players. The team is very angry. That's the sense that I got. They're angry and they're ashamed at what happened on Sunday. And I think they are definitely going to bounce back. I think that team tomorrow night, especially in the first quarter, is going to come out firing. And I don't think the Packers are going to be able to handle offensively what they do. I think they're going to be in very good shape offensively. I think the biggest issue is when Aaron Rodgers has the ball on third down and has it in his hands, they got to get him off the field. That is the number one thing. But I was in the locker room talking to players, and I think they're angry, they're ready, they're prideful, they want to bounce back, and they see that they're happy that it was a short week, Jaws, because they didn't have to fester all week, they didn't have to get questions from people like me, all the way Thursday, Friday, and into Saturday. They got out of town today. They're on the way to Green Bay. They'll be sequestered in the hotel. Doug will talk them up. I think the team is definitely psychologically ready to bounce back quickly.
As players, there's a 24-hour rule. The game is over.
Yep.
You think about it for 24 hours, then you got to let it go.
Yeah, but then the media comes in.
I was going to say it. Then people like Sal Palantonio come to your locker and ask all these hard questions, and it makes it more difficult.
It's tough to do.
Yes, it is tough to do, but it's easier to do when you leave town on Wednesday than it is when you sit around Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and you're listening to talk show. People, come on, we know that they listen to the radio.
No, they don't, Sal. They tell us they don't listen.
They're on their phones 24/7, and they're watching what's on Twitter and Instagram and their social media. So they're hearing
all
of it.
They see what goes on.
Absolutely.
You can tell that from what the guy with the kids the other night. That kind of bothered me a little bit, but it was funny. Now you got to think about this.
15 million views in the nine-county region.
How many?
15 million in a nine-county region.
Life and death.
Too bad he wasn't wearing a Jaws T-shirt, Jaws jersey.
Yeah.
Life and death.
I would have sent him one.
You're looking at somebody, saving kids and stuff, their lives and all, and then he had to turn around and said about dropping passes. I said, boy, that's Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, kind of say that's the passion that we have.
Yeah, what have you done lately?
I thought there was a really good sign. I talked to Carson after practice. He kept the wide receivers on the field for 20 extra minutes yesterday.
Doing what?
Well, I wasn't able to watch it. I wasn't able to watch it. They were running routes, clearly. I mean, but the idea is that I think Carson took ownership to work harder, longer after practice with the wide receivers and basically give them the idea that what happened on Sunday, whether he said it or not, he probably didn't because that's not his style, but by his actions, what he said was not going to stand and we have to get better.
It's quality practicing. And I remember when we
would... But to throw the coaches off the field after... Well, when the coaches leave the stadium...
Sal, by the way, let Harold go, and I'm going to comment on that.
It's still quality practice. You know, we went out after practicing, and we practiced the fade route, the red zone route that we threw every week, pretty much. Ron could throw that with his eyes closed. I did.
Because he had Harold catching
it. I know where I had to be. So it's quality practice. A lot of times you go out to that jug machine, a lot of guys don't really do that the right way. And I wish I was out there a lot of times to tell the guys, don't just stand there and catch the ball. You know, when you run a pass pattern and you're running deep, your eyes don't stay right. Your head is moving like this. You got to keep moving and make it look like you're running around. You know, just don't stop there and stand. They run like this, and they stop, boom, catch the ball. You can't do that. You got to continue to run, catch the ball as you move around because your eyes are bouncing around also. Mm. So it's quality. You can go out there and throw all the passes you want, but if it's not a quality type of workout, forget about it.
Sam, and I disagreed with you when you made that comment, and for this reason. You're calling it like a badge of honor. They stayed out for 20 minutes after practice. Well, here's how I feel about that. If you want to be great as a wide receiver or quarterback, you're always spending that 20 minutes when the coaches go in. That's what you have to do. Not when you have a bad day. Oh, let's work an extra 20 minutes this week and correct all the problems. Right. What's going to happen? They have a good game this week, don't drop balls. They eliminate that after practice work. That's why, to me, I
let the record show that Ron Jaworski's ripping Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
right?
He's ripping
Carson Wentz for keeping the team out there for 20 minutes.
No, because then he should be out 20 minutes.
Carson Wentz was doing the right thing, and Ron Jaworski's ripping him. Go ahead, Jaworski.
Okay, so I'll ask you the question, Sal. What's going to happen if they win next week? Do they still spend the 20 minutes? Say, oh, we corrected it, we're okay now. Then drop 6 balls or 5 balls the next week?
Well, I would imagine they do it all the time. But the point is they did it this week, and I thought it was encouraging.
Well, you have to, like Ron said, you have to do this all the time. You have to burn that into your head. You know, I mean, this is something that you automatically do every day. Like I said about catching the ball and putting it in the way. That's something that just comes automatically. You just catch the ball and put it away.
I just like the fact that Carson took ownership. I just like the fact
that you want to start rattling me up, Sal. You know how you...
That's not too hard to do, Joss.
He knew a hot button.
That's exactly what I've been doing my entire career.
That's right. For 28 years in a matchup show, that's what you did. Annoy me, Sal. But we had a heck of a lot of fun, too. But Harold, you know it, and I don't need to put words in Harold's mouth. If you're not paying the price to be great, and Harold mentioned throwing these fades, and I can still remember, and there's not many brain cells left in my head. Saturday practice, team goes off the field. Harold and I went down that end zone, and we probably threw 20 to 25 fades, just him and I, because we knew we're going to get inside that tight red zone. He's going to get a bump and run, and I want to have that chemistry that's perfect. We could have went in and skipped those 25 throws, and you know. That's why, if you get what I'm saying, Sal, just, you know, you got to work at it. You just can't say, hey, we had a bad day, now let's go spend the extra time. You always have to spend the extra time. Well, and I know Carson does.
The bottom line, though, Josh,
quality time. A lot of guys go out to practice and stuff because the coach's windows are right there. You can look out the window and see me do this because I want to do it and I have to do this.
Now, by the way, Sal.
The bottom line is I got a sense being around the team that they are determined to turn the page and do whatever it takes to win a football game.
This is a terrific football team. I still think they go to the Super Bowl. I mean,
great team.
The other Bears, it's a talented
focus.
Yeah, that's not a give up.
This is going to be very important this tomorrow night to have focus. Yeah.
And Sal, they should be angry. They lost at home to the stinking Detroit Lions.
Yeah, they should be.
They lost at home. They ought to be embarrassed.
Good.
Not surprised.
Yes.
And they better not put a stinker out there tomorrow night, or they're really going to hear it from these fans.
Here's the bottom line. They got to catch the ball, don't turn it over, and they win the game. They're better than the Packers.
I don't think we're going to have a problem.
I agree with you, Sal.
Those guys are better than
Detroit.
They're going to be all right.
But they didn't play better.
And we're
than
better
Detroit.
Than Atlanta.
They didn't play better. That's
we get
the problem.
Fourth and three. That's what we should talk about that because that sits in my car a little too. But so do a lot of things, Sal. Harold. All right. You know, unfortunately, we have to take a break. But we'll be back from the 7 Tap Tavern with Harold Carmichael and Sal Palantonio as George Norcross peers on right after this.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now back to the Ron Jaworski Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, welcome back, and what a rowdy crowd we have here at Seven Tap Tavern. It's amazing what happens when Sal Palantonio and Harold Carmichael show up. Everyone comes and has a beer and has some fun.
Maybe two beers.
I'm taking two home with me.
Hey, we got Papali hanging out here. His car broke down. He's hanging out, having a good time. We got everybody here at 7 Tap Tavern and Ramblewood Country Club. Soul Man shows up, you never know. All right, let's get back to football because we only got about 10 minutes left here, and I got some of the best in the business to talk to. And big question this week, and I'm watching the game, and I look at the tape on Monday, the running back position. Now, Doug has always been one of these guys that, you know, running back by committee, a certain amount of plays. Deuce Staley does a great job of integrating the specific skills of each player into getting on the field. But I'm looking at that tape, and there's some plays left on the field. And I think Jordan Howard has to get better vision. And if this team is ever going to be what it wants to be this year, it's worked other ways. I think they need to find a bell cow guy that they can count on, a guy that's going to carry the ball and have the burden of the running game on his shoulder.
Well, trade for Melvin Gordon.
Well, apparently, latest reports are he's going to sign this week with the San Diego Chargers. I think
L.A.?
I'm sorry. You know, I can't get it out of my head, man.
I know, it's tough. I do that all the time.
I'm going to say Chargers.
But you know, I don't think they're going to have one because I don't think Jordan Howard. I agree with you. In my 1 minute and 38 seconds of film study, I can tell you, Jaws, that Jordan Howard is not hitting the open hole. He's just not.
No,
and Miles Sanders, as far as I'm concerned,
ball security.
Big problem.
Well, we're going to come down. I mean, Miles Sanders had the problem at Penn State.
Yes.
But Sal, I think he's the guy that has the zuzu, you know? I think he's the guy that has a good vision. I think he can give this.
He's got to go to Tiki Barber School.
Then you go to Tiki Barber School. That's all right.
Well, no, a lot of times you see, you have to have that sliding. A Wilbur Montgomery type
exactly.
of deal. You know, you find a guy because
exactly. What's Wilbur doing?
I wish I'd catch up with him. I can't find him. But, you find the guy that kind of believed in you because you know he's going to cut back towards you a lot of time. And I felt that a lot of times with Wilbur. I say, you're coming back this way, I got to get my blocking. So a lot of times running backs kind of have that feeling with offensive linemen. Where are they going to go? How this guy's going to position themselves and stuff. So I think, I don't know for sure if they have enough time to, I don't know if they played that much together for the running back to know how this guy's going to block, if he's going to turn his back and he'll show you his numbers, whatever. So I think we need to give him time.
I think he eventually becomes the bell cow. I can see, looking at tape, he's got the better vision. And I think as a running back, that is critical. And you look at Jordan Howard, there are some backs in this league. And Jordan Howard's a good back. Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from him as a player. This scheme doesn't, if this team is a downhill running team, double team, lead plays, come off the ball like the Chicago Bears were, this is a zone read kind of team. You got to know what your offensive linemen are doing. And Howard has kind of a myopic view to say, okay, four back through the four hole. He's going through the four hole. He doesn't have that peripheral vision to see, man, we've wiped out the left side line. I'm not going through that hole. I'm going back. Yeah. And it's not only the vision, it's the instincts. And I'm not sure he has the explosive. He's a good power running back. But I'm not sure that's not what this offense needs.
Well, wait a minute. Why did they trade for him then?
I don't know. I'm not Howie Roseman.
Why did they trade for a guy who doesn't fit their scheme? I don't get it.
Well, I think they're, you know, the Corey Clements of the world fit that scheme. Hey, you look last year with, you know, the other players they had, they don't necessarily fit the scheme, but they were effective.
Well, they're obviously not enamored with Jordan Howard. They can see what we can see. That's why they're going out of their way, bending over backwards to make sure that Miles Sanders' confidence stays high. They're not going to beat him up over the fumbles. The problem is, unless you correct it, it's not going to go away. And he had that problem at Penn State. It was well documented when people were talking about him on draft day. It's clear that he hasn't fixed it, and Deuce Staley and Mike Groh and the rest of that staff have to figure out a way to fix it.
They work on that a lot. I watch Deuce in practice, watching them on the ball.
Sal, Harold's been in practice. They're working at it. You get it?
Yeah, I mean, every...
You need an extra 20 minutes, Josh.
That's right. But, Deuce Staley, I'm out there.
They work on that a lot, and Deuce does a great job at that. It's just guys just have to listen and understand what he's trying to get these guys to do and think about
pulling
that ball.
And you can see that Matt Patricia told his defense, we're going to punch the ball out. They probably practiced it all week long. These guys are susceptible. Listen, the Eagles, since the start of the 2018 season, their running backs have fumbled 7 times. That's the most in the NFC East, the most in the NFC, second only to the Raiders in the NFL. This team has had fumbling problems before Miles Sanders ever showed up at the running back position. They had it last year, and now they have it this year. So whatever they're doing in practice, whatever they're teaching them, is not working.
Well, and what you have now is a target on Miles Sanders.
I'll
guarantee you, the Green Bay Packers, you go in their meeting
room. That's what I said. Matt Patricia was telling his defensive guys, we're punching it out.
This guy carries the ball loosely.
Yeah.
And now
when
they
you get him in the
video
pile,
evidence.
Hold him up and punch the ball out. That's basic football.
But normally everybody coaches that and teaches that. But now there's more emphasis on that. When this guy gets the ball, okay, the first guy, you don't necessarily have to knock him down. Hold him up. Let the second guy come in and punch it out.
This has got to be a Jordan Howard game. This game right here.
I don't know. The Packers' defense is solid.
It's got to be a Jordan. And to me, it's play keep away, power running game, put Vitae on as the extra tight end, and a power running as much as you possibly can. Play keep away from Rodgers, because if you give Rodgers more chances, then he'll beat you.
You know, what has been successful has been that heavy formation when they bring Vitae on the field.
Absolutely.
As a sixth offensive line. I think, Jason, we had him at like 7 yards per rush when they had that heavy formation. But then again, what's that?
7 per play.
7 per play. 7 per play with the heavy
formation.
There's
a guy that you know and you know who told me once, Sal, it's about completions and rushing attempts.
Oh, we got Sal. Dick Vermeil.
Rushing attempts plus completions will win you the football. And you know, its bottom line is when you add those two numbers up, 99% of the time, the
playoffs.
You're going to playoffs. Take rushing attempts and add it to completions, and that's how you win. And that's how they'll win in Green Bay.
And we have those numbers, but I don't use
them. Jordan Howard game.
I think you need 4 games to get a true template of that number. So after 4 games, again, reiterate what Sal just said. Number of rushes plus number of completions, not passes. It's rushes plus completions. If you're over 50 on the average, you're going to the playoffs. And that's a Vermeil stat through his buddy Bud Goody. Remember Bud Goody would have all these stats? The analytics part of his completions are critical. Not just passes. You got to complete them.
Got to complete
them. And that number's 50. And you were saying, Sal?
The problem is, Doug is a lot like Andy in that when he gets in trouble, he tries to throw his way out of trouble too soon. And that always has been a problem for Andy Reid. And it allows teams to come back into the game and beat you late. And I think if Doug just sticks, he has a plan to run Jordan Howard in this game, I believe. And I think that they will stick to that plan, and they will have the opportunity to win this game. Now, the Packers have only given up 35 points in 3 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a math major, but, you know, that's only about...
Well, you're pretty smart, Sal.
I'm close. That's only about 12 points a game.
Yeah.
So the Eagles have to literally double the output of points per game that the Packers have been giving up and to win this game. I think they're going to win it, and I think they're going to win it 23-20.
23-20. Harold, before I ask you to pick your score, Sal has a 23-20, and the Eagles are 4.5-point underdogs. Before you make your pick... The Otho Davis dinner is coming up in November.
Right.
I'd love you to mention that. The Otho Davis dinner.
I call it football night in Philly, Josh.
Sal hosts the Otho Davis dinner, and it is, you have to be there, folks. If you love football, you need to be at the Otho Davis dinner. Sal, it was always fantastic. He's he's triple A in this one. He's fantastic.
It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a little different night. We're going to have all of the majority of the Eagles Hall of Famers.
Oh,
all the guys going
to
come.
So we have to be there.
You got to be there. You know. And again, Sal does a great job. And hey,
Where is it? And when?
Well, they used to call it the Sheraton, but now it's the Marriott down in Society Hill. It's the Society Hill Marriott now.
Okay.
And November 5th, Tuesday night. A great night, be a fun night.
Just go online and go to just Google Otho Davis Dinner, and you can get tickets. I'm telling you, it's always sold out. There's always 350, 400 people in the room, and it is football night in Philly. It's a star-studded event where we have lots of videos, lots of giveaways. Ron Jaworski's there. Harold Carmichael's
there. That's right, Sal.
Dick Vermeil Award.
Dick Vermeil. I got everything going on.
The coach is there.
It is a great night. All the coaches show up. Players show up. It's a fun night.
We fly Carl Peterson in. We keep him away from the microphone.
Well, we want to get out before midnight. before the bar closes anyway. All right, folks. That'll wrap up another Ron Jaworski show.
We didn't get Harold's pick.
Oh, Harold's pick. Harold, I'm sorry. Wait.
Okay, my pick would be 24-17 Eagles.
All right.
I got it. Green Bay 20, Philadelphia 28. How's that, folks? We three of us on the Eagles, 2-2, 28-20. Philadelphia Eagles over the Green Bay Packers tomorrow night.
Go Birds.
Lambeau Field. Harold Carmichael, Sal Palantonio, two of the best in the business. Thank you guys so much.
Guys.
That'll do it for the Ron Jaworski Show. Next week, we'll be at the Valley Brook Country Club. Same time, same channel. Good night, everyone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.